been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining me in studio right now, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. I didn't get my black sports car pitted out by one of your deputies on Massachusetts Avenue this week, so I'm doing better.
It wasn't stolen, right?
Well, no, I haven't been driving a stolen car either, so yeah, I might drive it like it's stolen, but it's not actually stolen.
Yeah, try cruising around a stolen car and see what happens.
All right. So what happened here?
Well, that was it. We got word based on our license plate readers that one of the vehicles that we've been looking for, a stolen car, was in the area, and our deputies were in the area. And tried to stop it, and as some stolen cars do, they take off, and we ultimately had to pit them. Remember, we're not trying to let these cars go 100 miles an hour and through traffic. We try to pit them as quickly as we can. In the past, we've had situations where they steal these cars to do bad things, mm-hmm. to do drive-by shootings, to do drug deals or whatever. And so our plan now and has been is to safely pit them as quickly as we possibly can.
And he fled on foot too, right?
After he tried to get out and run a little bit, but yeah. we were in the area.
Did that better than he did. You drove better than he did, and you ran better than he did.
Yeah, well, you know, we're a capable agency.
He didn't actually try to, like, fight back or anything. He submitted after you managed to catch up to him. Okay, because I do have one of my new all-time favorite sound clips from you, by the way.
Don't fight us, bro.
You had his mic on, so I couldn't hear it. It's "Don't fight us, bro." That's my new sound clip for you that I grabbed from one of our interviews. I like. Anyway, so on the pit though, it's just, you know, it's worth reminding people in case they don't remember. You used to not pursue people for traffic offenses or even stolen car offenses. It was basically, unless it was a forced felony, you pretty much didn't chase. And now you do because
we still don't necessarily chase for traffic offenses. Right. Just traffic, we don't.
Thank you. But for stolen cars, because
what I said, yeah, we have noticed that almost every drive-by shooting we had involved a stolen automobile.
Yeah.
And then we noticed that they were stealing them and then stocking them away somewhere in a backyard somewhere. And then a week later, they come back and they'd be used for drive-by
shooting.
So this
is a way of preempting or preventing the opportunity by having, if you can stop the car, you can stop the person.
Right. I mean, we're not the only agency in the state of Florida doing this. Some agencies don't do it for stolen cars. And some don't have like the if you can chase them, you can pit them type of a mentality that we have. But you know, it cost this car a bumper.
Yeah.
But
okay.
But
we saw the bumper on the side of the road. So
the one thing they're not going to use is this car for a drive-by shooting in the next couple of days.
Love that. Since you mentioned the Flock license plate readers, this has come up at the county committee. I think at the county they've talked about, but more so they've been pushing it to the city council. You know, there's some folks here in town that are very upset about the Flock cameras. They say it's, you know, we're entering the surveillance state. The city's got the red light cameras, of course. You know, you guys have the surveillance towers and that are positioned.
Mobile
towers in different places. Can you just maybe talk for a second about what you don't do with the information in the Flock camera system? Because, I mean, I think it's an amazing crime-fighting tool. You can go back and basically it's gathering data, and then over the course of time that it gathers and you keep it, you can go back and query it for things that you're looking for. You know, the new chief of Pensacola Police said they solved a murder with it in Grand Rapids. But people, the concerns they have are about sharing of information, abuse of that system. Can you just talk for a second about what you don't share, how you do make for controls that it's not taken advantage of? You know, angry exes and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, well, I think that what you have to first realize is that these cameras and these license plate readers are in public roadways. They're not pointing at anyone's private property, and you do not have an expectation of privacy on a public roadway. Everyone knows that. So we'll start with that. Secondly, there are rules, there are restrictions. These we don't put license numbers or anything else from of ex-girlfriends and that sort of thing on there. And if they do, then they'll be terminated and or charged. I think that these things are, you know, you have to trust a law enforcement agency to a certain degree. And we have protocols and we have rules and we have very stringent hiring practices so that we get people that we can trust to do these things. And there's audits and there's all this other stuff that we adhere to.
And every query of the database is recorded and logged, so it can be looked at to see what you queried. And if you can't justify a query, that can be a cause for
It's just like criminal
action.
History checks. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't go there and say, hey, run a criminal history check on Andrew McKay. I can't do that. It has to be for a reason. It has to be based on an arrest. It has to be based on something that pre-employment type of a thing. Mm-hmm. And this is the same thing, like you mentioned. You can see why a tag is entered into the program, and you can see who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have certain people that have access to that. You talk about the value of these things. Let me give you, for instance, we had a couple of trucks that looked like they were probably stolen that were used to break into an ATM machine, steal ATM machines, and we thought they were not local. We looked at some of the cameras that were in the area, and we saw this white pickup truck that was circling the area. Both of these, I think they were Family Dollars, their ATMs were stolen. And then ultimately, we put that information, that tag information in. Leon County pops up because they're part of this Flock network. Leon County pops up and says, hey, it looks like that they popped on one of our machines. So they start doing surveillance and basically catch them in the act. We would have never caught these people had we not had that Flock camera, that information. And you talked about the new police chief talking about solving murders. The last murder that we had, information was basically given to us. It didn't solve the murder, but certainly helped to build the case and probable cause for it. So I think that technology is continuing to evolve. If you think you're not on a camera when right. you go out in your life, whether you go to the Board of County Commission meeting or you right. go to a supermarket or to a bank, you're going to be on camera. You need to understand that if you're expecting privacy, you probably need to stay in your house.
Apparently somebody in the North End, you tell this story because I think I don't want to. What did they do?
Well, it's as simple as there was a fire department and I guess the fire marshals responded to a car that was on fire up on the side of the road. And we get there and they say, hey, looks like this was intentionally set. So we ran the tag and go to find the guy. And he says, yeah, I set my car on fire. I don't know why. It's just, if anyone was up there and they noticed the car on fire and you wonder what happened, because sometimes cars get...
Sure.
I guess they malfunction overheat and something, they end up catching fire. Or a traffic accident sometimes can ignite a fire. But in this situation, some dude decided, I'm going to burn my own car.
Haven't you ever just kind of wondered whether that would burn? Will that burn? Won't that burn? They say that dollar bills don't burn very well, and you might be thinking, well, I don't know if a car burns very well, and you want to...
I mean, it's full of gas, probably.
Yeah, or I would think maybe there was some smell in it that he was trying to get rid of, or, no.
I don't know. I'm curious, as we called his insurance company, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Matches
so this
and
is,
gas.
It's Carson.
It's, yeah, okay. All right. Where's your, yeah.
Come on. I deserve better than that.
Boo.
All right.
You may.
Fine. I saw this and I just thought it would be interesting, and you guys do all kinds of community outreach stuff, but, elsewhere in, I think it's Orange County in Orlando, they have an ice cream truck that was, I don't know if it was a drug seizure ice cream truck. I'm not sure how that would work, or if it was just drug seizure money they used to buy the ice cream truck so they can go around at events and distribute ice cream to all the kids. But, I don't know. Is that something you guys either have ever thought about or would think about? Or
we have. I've been approached many times about this ice cream truck business because other people have seen Orange County.
Yeah.
I believe they bought the truck.
Yeah.
Maybe used, but they bought the truck. I don't know. Every time I seem to go to a place that serves ice cream, the machine's always out. It seems like that's a lot of maintenance for me, and I love me some ice cream. But it's not something that we've looked at. It's not something that I'm considering.
You could
now,
be the,
if we seized an ice cream truck, we might use it.
If
for
you
a
had,
couple
if that
of,
was the thing itself,
weeks.
Okay.
Like the Corvette, we seized, and people, oh my gosh, you're seizing people's cars. Yeah, they're criminals. They're buying it with bad money.
So if you seize the ice cream truck, then that might be repurposed.
Yeah, but I mean, how many ice cream trucks are committing crimes around here? I don't.
You
know.
Ask me like I'd have knowledge.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Get around.
I could see you being like the McDonald's ice cream machine response team, that whenever a local McDonald's goes down, the ECSL rolls up, they got lights blaring.
Station outside.
We got your ice cream for you, bro.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about more serious things. I've talked to other law enforcement about this, but I wanted to get your input as well. Obviously, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the ICE people, are having this conversation about what rules, you're a big believer in body cameras. You've pioneered them at both agencies. I know you believe in those. Wearing masks and name tags. I've said, under normal circumstances, of course. Under rare exceptions, it might be okay to conceal the identity of an informant that's going along with the team or something, whatever. But I hate the idea of having guys, law enforcement, run around without name tags and without with masks on. Sheriff Johnson yesterday said, well, I don't like it either, but, you know, if the local law enforcement's not doing their job. Your thoughts about that, but there's also, as I understand it, a push for a law that might change some of this. But you tell me, what's going on here? What's your, first of all, what's your view, and then what do you see, what do you hear might be happening?
Well, I see our sheriff's office as part of the community. We live in the community. We have take-home cars. We park a car in front of our house. It seems to me like, well, I do not believe that we should wear masks in local law enforcement. Now, their situation is a little bit different because there were some bona fide attempts, as I understand it, to dox them and to threaten them or to harm their family. So you might want to take that case by case and punish those that are doing that instead of a rule that says you cannot wear a mask. We're not wearing masks at the sheriff's office. We're as open and transparent as any agency that I know. But we're also going to support our federal partners. We're going to support our state. And if ICE comes here to do a legitimate, the course of their work, then we're going to support them. So I don't know that it's going to be an issue here. And so I don't necessarily have an I'm not sitting at home thinking, okay, should I prohibit masks or allow masks? We're just not going to wear masks. We have name tags. We have numbers on our cruiser cars. And again, we park cruiser cars at our house. And then someone starts to intimidate or try to intimidate or threaten one of our deputies, then we will be quick to respond to that.
You'll deal with that. Agreed. And I love it when we're biking around all the time and we see cop cars. I'm like, oh, good. You know, I like seeing cops around. It's good. But on that, I guess there's a push to maybe expand the HALO law. That's the one that gives you in Florida, is it 25 feet, 30 feet, whatever it is, that if you're engaged in a law enforcement activity, you can tell everybody to stay back that far for the safety of the officer, also for the safety of the public. Man, I would love to see a law like that put in place for, you know, your folks who are doing ICE activity. In fact, that seems like a fair trade, is we'll give you name tags and no masks if you give us the HALO law so that people have to stay back 20 or 25 feet.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand why they weren't, it wasn't just the law enforcement officers or firefighters and ambulance crews. Well, why they're not included already
in
this HALO law. And as I understand it, there's a bill running through either the House or the Senate, the state legislature to include federal law enforcement. I certainly would support that. Again, if you're in need of a HALO, then you're probably going to need us there anyways, and we're certainly there to help you.
There's a couple of other things that are working in the state of Florida that you guys have been paying attention to. Trafficking amounts for xylazine. It's currently not, you have a distribution prohibition, but and a possession prohibition, but trafficking is not quantified. Is that right?
That's correct. You know, we talk about, you know, there's a possession of a certain controlled substance, and there's possession with intent to distribute based upon the amounts and how it's packaged. And then there's the higher level, which usually has minimum mandatory sentencing. And at this point, xylazine, this whole horse tranquilizer that now we see are mixing with, people are mixing with fentanyl. There was no trafficking amount. And so Senate Bill 432 is going to strengthen the law and add xylazine to the state's drug trafficking statute.
And there was one other one you were telling me about I thought was interesting. We have prohibitions on where sex offenders can live not in proximity to schools or daycares, for example, 1,000 feet. But there's a gap in that, and one of the proposed laws would be to make it so that they cannot live within 1,000 feet of two other locations, which are
Public pools, splash pads, and what they call spray pools, which is, you know, they're becoming more and more popular, splash pads. And there has been places in other parts of the state of Florida where they've caught sexual offenders and sexual predators hanging out at splash pads. You know, that first of all, it's creepy, and secondly, it's wrong. So we're gonna there's a move again to add that to the restrictions. So not only can they not live within 1,000 feet where children commonly gather, but it also adds public pools, splash pads, and those spray pools to that.
You know, it's interesting. I completely agree with that when it comes to splash pads, because if you're going to stop schools, a splash pad is much more open to them than even a school would be, because schools have fences and adults and all that kind of stuff. I mean, sort of splash pads, but not fences. Pools, though, have fences, and that doesn't seem quite the same to me, but,
I think there are some public pools that people can just walk up and just sit there and watch the kids play, sort of thing. I think that's where they're getting it.
Very good. Chip Simmons is the Escambia County Sheriff.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes responsibilities change. You never know. No, he's a campy kind of sheriff. And he says, don't fight me, bro. Sheriff, thanks always for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.